Good evening, everybody. Welcome back to the Hoops HD Championship Week Video Notebook, if I can even say correctly.
Nice going, Chen.
Already messed up. Day
20 seconds into the show, and everybody's changing the channel. Nice
day,
going,
day 37. What day are we on, David?
One or two, Chad.
Day two. Wow. Feels like 37 already.
Right. Yeah.
I'm your host, Chad Sherwood, joined by David Griggs and John Stalica. This is our video notebook where we have review and preview all the conference tournament games. We also discuss any news and notes, especially during this first week, about stuff that's going on in the major conferences who are finishing out their regular seasons. And we're going to be updating our survival board tonight, so we've got a lot to get to, but we actually are going to be starting with our newest feature once again, which is our mailbag.
Oh, okay, we got a mailbag.
Yeah, Hoops HD mailbag. The first question here, this one, David, let me throw this one over to you here. The question is, and this comes from Jimmy from Albuquerque. So another New Mexico. We got a big contingent here in New Mexico, apparently. But
that's not from Lobo Lair, is it?
Might be, but
Love the pit.
Jimmy's actual comment was about tonight's games, because there was a pair of 8-9 and 7-10 kind of play-in games and conference tournaments in both the Patriot League and the Big South. And the question is, do you prefer that format, or do you prefer the format of a conference like the Ohio Valley or the Southland that only takes the top 8 teams?
Honestly, and this isn't dodging the question, I really don't have a preference. Part of me likes that everybody kind of gets to participate, because it really doesn't matter anyway. But I understand how, from a travel perspective and a logistical perspective, how sometimes it's better to only take 8. The formatting that I have a problem with is when first place teams aren't protected, either by getting to play at home or getting to a double bye deep into it or something like that. But when it comes to formatting, I don't mind if all the teams are in person.
I'll tell you quite honestly, David, I prefer all the teams in for one and only one reason. It's very selfish, because it means more games during championship week.
True, yes, yes.
Although I don't have a problem with what the Northeast Conference does, for example, because it does put a little more incentive into winning games during the regular season. So,
yeah,
I mean, this year is one of
the incentive
few...
would still be there, though, because you're playing for the right to play at home in the Northeast Conference. Right?
And this is one of the few years where it wasn't really competitive for the 8 spots, because 9 and 10 were about 2 to 3 levels below the rest of the playing field.
Yeah, but I'm kind of with Chad. I kind of like the fact that there's more games.
I'll tell you, I mean, there's one thing in the Southland Conference, and it's not quite locked in yet, but we might have a single game playoff for the final spot coming up. Or actually, it's going to be the SWAC, not the Southland, the SWAC.
Yeah.
A single, 2 teams playing on the last game in the regular season coming up on Saturday, that the winner may get the 8th spot and the loser will be out. But we'll find out about that a little bit more after they play their Thursday night games this week. We do have one other question, though, and this one has actually came by email. And I can actually put this one up on the screen.
I think we only have time for one question, Jeff.
No, we've got it right here. This was an email one. Here it is. It came from John, let me have you, as you asked this, it was just to me and you. It came from Griggs Davison. He says, "Hey, Hoops HD guys, I've been a fan of the show for years now. I want to know why you don't give more respect to the puppet."
Oh, this is a great question.
It's always completely correct, and the rest of you are normally flat out wrong. Signed, Griggs Davison.
This is the best question we've ever had. This is
P.S.
Great.
Bring back the
board. This is just a brilliant question.
Is Griggs Davison related to Mem Tiles? Just out of curiosity.
You know what? Look at this email address here too, John. Tim Miles rules at puppet. I think it's a little bit suspicious.
I kind of like this guy.
How did he get the rights to puppet.com?
I'm not that certain. I don't know about this question.
That's a good question. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, I think we're going to throw that one away. John, I don't think we're going to bother to respond to that one, are we?
No, I think I've already responded.
All right. Let's turn that to a little bit of news and notes. We had we had some regular season games that have gone final. We're actually recording this before games like Vanderbilt and Kentucky and Iowa State, Oklahoma State have even gone final tonight. A couple games of note include Duke just blew out Florida. Well, was blowing out Florida State. Florida State made a run late to make it close. But David, that doesn't, this is really, in the end of the day, is not going to impact much in terms of seedings or anything.
No, no real movement there. Duke was ahead of them. Duke was at home. You don't really reward a team for winning at home against the team that's behind them, nor do you ding a team for losing on the road to someone that's ahead of them. No real movement. And, yeah, again, about a 30 to 60 second, maybe a 90 second Hoops HD report before we get into the notebook. Just a quick review since...
Just a quick review. The other games to note that went foul already tonight, Purdue putting Indiana out of their misery here, I think we're done to the extent that we wanted to start discussing them a little bit again after the win over Northwestern. Seton Hall squeezed out a home win over Georgetown to keep... That would have been a bad loss in their profile. And John Akron had probably suffered the biggest upset of the night, losing at home to Miami of Ohio, the last place team in the MAC.
That is Mother Miami. Let's get it right, please.
Yes, it'll be Miami, Ohio. I said it correctly.
Yes.
Let's turn, though, to the real portion of our show here, which is the conference tournaments. I'll go ahead and get the screen right back up again and start off in the Big South tonight, where we had the 8-9 and 7-10 games that Jimmy had emailed us, had tweeted to us about. But first of all, the Campbell-Presbyterian game, where 81-62, and it was not that close. Presbyterian made it when it run in the second half to close a 30-point gap down to about 15 before Campbell put him away. But
it's never good when you finish last in the Big South, and your last game is that you went on a run to get it under 20.
Presbyterian won three D1 games all year, not for likes of North Carolina A&T and Alabama A&M. They might even be in our centenary award discussions this year.
Yeah, I mean, real sorry shape that that program is in. There was chatter about moving it back down to Division II. I don't know how much weight it was carrying, but certainly not a very good year this year all across the board, and it comes to an end with a last-place finish and kind of a blowout loss. This is kind of surprising, not to go off on too much of a tangent, but as this team was coming up, they're worse now than they were when they were going through the transition. And that's kind of a long – most of the time this is during your transition, you're winning 3 and 4 games, and then after that you kind of level out. They're kind of digressing here, aren't they, Jen?
I would say in Cincinnati, clearly the high point of Presbyterian's program was winning at Cincinnati a few years back.
Yeah, they did win at Cincinnati. I forgot. And that was a Cincinnati team that went to the Sweet 16, I think.
Yeah. The other game tonight, Charleston-Southern Longwood. This is the third consecutive year that these two teams have met in the Big South tournament. Longwood won each of the last 2 years. Charleston-Southern finally getting past them this year, though. And, John, this was actually a pretty good game. Charleston-Southern tried to open it up, but Longwood came storming back late.
Well, you're missing one of the best parts of the game, and that was the very beginning, because Charleston-Southern was actually given a technical foul because the shot clocks were not functioning properly, and as the home team, they were penalized. So it was treated as a Class B administrative technical. So that's why Longwood was up 1-0 before they even tipped off.
Yeah, and actually, this was close all the way until halftime. It was very close. Actually, Charleston Southern hit a half-court shot at the buzzer at the end of the first half that opened up a 5-point lead and kind of began their opening up of the game. But David. The conference is off tomorrow. They come back into play again Thursday. All the games from here, the next two rounds at least, will be at Winthrop's home court. Do you think either of these teams that won tonight have a shot at pulling the upset on Thursday?
No.
Okay. So obviously this isn't going to change our picks.
Yeah, no. But they get to play on Thursday, so, yes. You know.
The other two games that were played tonight were in the Patriot League, another 8-9 and 7-10 game that are on the screen now, where Army kind of rolled over American. It was close for a little while, John, but then the Cadets kind of put it away.
Yep, it's not something we say very often for Army in conference tournament play, but at least they got one win out of the way, because now they're facing a much taller order when they go to Bucknell later in the week.
Yeah, and nobody's going to win 4 road games to win this conference tournament this year like Holy Cross did last year out of the 9 seed, because both home teams did win tonight. But, David, the other game was probably the best game of the night with Loyola and Lafayette there.
Yeah, it was. It was close all the way through. Loyola getting it done in exciting fashion. Now they're going up to the roof, and we'll see what happens.
One of our favorite venues there up on the roof. Yep, again, on the roof. Let me ask you this. Do you see either of the tonight's winners being able to pull off an upset on Thursday when they play again?
It wouldn't surprise me if Loyola was able to do it, but I don't see Army upsetting Bucknell because I don't see Lightning striking twice there.
Well, you see, this is where I'm going to disagree with you. I think Army has the better chance. This Army team has been red hot over the last few weeks. That they've actually been one of the hotter teams in the conference, starting with their huge win over Navy. Army won at BU in the last couple weeks as well. I think that this could be a chance for one of a huge eight seed over one seed upset here.
Well, if I'm not mistaken, Loyola has also beaten BU. Granted, that wasn't at the roof.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, Army.
How much fun would Army Navy in the semis be?
Oh yeah, there it is, right there. It could happen if Army pulls off that upset, Navy holds on to the cross.
But given how stone cold Navy has been in the second half of Patriot League play, I don't see that happening.
Yeah, I can't really either. And I realize Army's been hot, but Bucknell's been hot since about January.
Well, we'll see what happens Thursday night. That's it for the games we're playing tonight. We're going to take a quick preview of the games that are coming up tomorrow night in conference tournaments. Three more conference tournaments kicking off, starting with the America East. And
Love it. Look at that. The team of the people.
There they are. The team of the people, New Hampshire, hosting UMBC. David, these two teams played twice this year. Both games went double overtime.
Yes, and the most recent one was just a couple of days ago. So how much fun is this going to be? New Hampshire, we thought coming into the year that they would contend for first place. They obviously came up short of that.
There's the standings, yep.
Yeah, they've been competitive in a lot of those losses, and things kind of reset. And if they can win tomorrow, they get the chance to go to Vermont, and who knows?
Yeah, here, we'll even pull up this New Hampshire profile here, and here's the record that shows that. I mean, this team has been really a team of the people. David, we actually have a little bit of news about them. I did a little bit of investigation. Here's their profile as our friend colleague Warren Nolan has at warrennolan.com. And there's some problems here. I've actually discovered that, as we've said all season, that Abilene Christian game, for example, they didn't lose that, did they?
No. Well, I mean, yeah, because they of how they played in the second half.
West Virginia, that was in the NIT season tip-off, which they won.
Which they won. Like they won that tournament, so you got to give them credit for that.
The Dartmouth.
The clock didn't expire quickly or expired too quickly.
Yeah, and, David, I actually did a little bit of research here, and we've heard a lot of this stuff in the media about fake news this, fake news that. Well, guess what? I actually did research here, and I actually found – New Hampshire's real profile, not this fake one that's showing up on these websites.
Yeah, and Warren Nolan is not fake. He's just fake information.
He's just doing the same information that the other sources are given. But here is the actual real profile of the New Hampshire Wildcats.
And again, like, there's no fake news here. And you look at where we get our news today. Like, ESPN, it's owned by an entertainment company. It's owned by Disney. And Fox is owned by the Fox Entertainment Group. It actually has entertainment in the title. And then you got Comcast and Universal and, like just all of this Viacom, who owns CBS. It's all fake news. It's all entertainment companies. And is the team of the people not entertaining enough? Why do you have to go through and deliver a fake profile?
I want to know why West Virginia canceled the game with New Hampshire.
Because New Hampshire had already won the preseason NIT. That game was not played. Okay. Yeah. That game was played. Now, they did lose one game. They lost that game to Vermont 71-59. I'll give Vermont that. But other than that, they've won every single game that they played this season or had them postponed and canceled. As a result, this team is the best team in the America East. And this team, quite frankly, deserves an at-large bid.
Right. I would agree. I mean, we're going to be tweeting this at the committee, just so they're aware. I mean, because I'm afraid they're getting their information via fake news.
They're getting that same fake news. But let's go back over here to the America East bracket here. And in terms of tomorrow night's games, John, do you see any of the four road teams pulling off an upset?
I would have been tempted to say Hartford at the beginning of the year, but they've also petered off in the second half of league play. I certainly don't see Maine pulling off the upset, considering their players were fighting with each other in the locker room over pregame music.
Yeah, that Maine program is in trouble.
Oh, for those of us that don't know this story, what was happening with that?
John, you want to tell the rest of the story?
I forget what game it was, but this was, I think, before the game where there was some disagreements in the locker room over pregame music, and it was actually a fight between a couple Maine players.
Great. Signs things are not going well.
Yeah. But, David, who is your pick to win this tournament if some piece of fake news has New Hampshire not winning it?
Vermont. I mean, they're at home. They haven't lost really at home or on the road. I am a little disappointed that we're not getting my beloved 8-9 America East game.
Well, maybe next year with Lowell becoming eligible.
Yeah. So,
Sleeker, do you agree with him on Vermont? If the team of the people, you know, some type of fake news says that they lose.
I think Vermont is going to be able to pull it off here.
Yeah, and I would agree with that. I would note just one thing here. This conference will reseed in the semifinal round. It kind of looks like they won't the way this bracket is built, but it will. So if there are already upsets, it could end up with different changing up the matchups for the semifinals. And one of the most stretched out tournaments, the final won't be until the day before Selection Sunday.
It's right. Yeah, we get a 4-day break between rounds here.
And their customary time slot of 11 a.m.
Yeah,
right.
Let's take a look at the other conference that's in quarterfinal action tomorrow. Is the Northeast Conference, one of our other favorite conferences.
Love this league. The Blackbirds.
Well, you got the Blackbirds playing Robert Morris in the late game, actually. That's going to be one of the two televised games tomorrow night. You got Wagner, Fairleigh Dickinson, SFPA Bryant, Mount St. Mary's, a top seed hosting Sacred Heart. David, let me start with you. Do you see any upsets tomorrow?
Maybe. I mean, I'm not going to pick any. If I was, it would be the 4-5 game. It wouldn't shock me if Fairleigh Dickinson took down Wagner, because Wagner has been hot and cold, but I wouldn't pick it.
Well, I'm going to call it right here. I'm going to call two upsets tomorrow night in this conference. I'm going to call Fairleigh Dickinson over Wagner and Robert Morris over Brooklyn.
Really? Whoa, that is ballsy, because you're calling that over the team that I think is going to win this tournament.
Yes, I'm calling that we're going to have the 1-4, 6-7 going on to the semifinals. And I think Mount St. Mary's in the end will take this tournament.
And they reseed it, so.
They do reseed, unless Fairleigh Dickinson wins it again, which could very well happen.
Yeah.
Sleeker, who do you have in this tournament?
Call me crazy, but I think Fairleigh Dickinson gets the only first-round upset, but I can see St. Francis U knocking off Mount St. Mary's in the semifinal. I think it's going to be Long Island, Brooklyn, who actually wins the whole thing.
You got to watch out for Robert Morris in the NEC tournament. They always win games, always. I'm telling you. I told you. We'll talk about it again tomorrow night when it happens.
In this case, it's going to be the Blackbirds.
Ohio Valley Conference also starts tomorrow night with their first-round games, the 5-8 game between SEMO and Tennessee State, the 6-7 game between Tennessee Tech and Murray State. Now, remember, Austin Peay came out of that 8 seed last year to win this tournament, so it's not like these games, even though it's a ladder format, are completely meaningless.
Real interesting tournament here. It is the ladder format. A couple of things going on here. Remember how much we liked Tennessee State back in late November? And by like them, I mean really, really like them.
Yes.
Things kind of digress for them after that. And then, once again,
I'll pull up this Tennessee State profile here for you.
Yeah.
Let me go ahead here. They ended up 17-12, 8-8 in the conference here. Look how well things went early, though, including the win over at Middle Tennessee.
Right, and that's what really, really jumped at us.
They played well at Duke, only losing by 10 even.
Yeah.
And then the second half of the season.
Yeah, hit a little bit of a rut. So that's one of the things. The ceiling is there. If they're able to get it back, they kind of finished on a high note, winning 4 of their last 6. And, again, if Murray State beats Tennessee Tech, we get it again. It's always fun. The Murray-Moorhead tournament matchup. How about Moorhead State, since the dismissal of their coach, John Woods, kicking it in and finishing third, Chad.
Really good. And UT Martin, I believe they finished second place last year as well, trying to get that first ever tournament bid on the men's side here.
Or in this case, winning their division.
Well, winning their division and getting the two seed, you're correct. Belt Moorhead, I believe, actually had the second best overall record in the conference.
Right. But one of the teams that usually don't see this high in the OVC ladder, and that's Jacksonville State.
They had a great season by their standards. They really did. Yeah. I agree with you there. Salika, who's your pick to win it?
I don't think Belmont's going to be denied again, so I'm going to go with the Bruins here.
David?
You see.
We'll make it 3-for-3. I think we all agree Belmont is the best team with a lot of format that only have to win two games. I don't know that there's anybody that's really in their class in this conference. I
mean, right. But the one thing about the ladder format is, although you're starting at the bottom of the ladder, you get intriguing matchups at every stage. Like, it's a doubleheader every night. And from basically night two on, the quarterfinals, you could conceivably have really intriguing games.
Yeah. I think Murray State actually gets two wins here, but I don't see them getting the third win against UT Martin.
Oh, I wouldn't be surprised if they didn't get the first one.
Murray State's had a real rough season. I actually picked them to win that division. They really disappointed this year. I don't know that they get past Tennessee Tech tomorrow night.
Right. I think they peaked in November when they beat Illinois State.
Yeah.
Let's finish things off here for the evening by heading over to our survival board. This is where we were as of the end of the day last night. And David, can you remind everybody what the survival board is?
Well, it's a tool that is available to the selection committee. It's one of the best tools they have because essentially they come on to this page and it tells them who all's left and really what they should be doing with them, whether or not they should be locking them in, whether or not they should be considering them, or whether or not they're only still playing because they haven't been eliminated from their conference tournament yet.
Yeah, so we see teams like Baylor, Iowa State, Kansas, teams like that. Yeah. They don't have to win another game. They will be in, and the tournament committee knows that by looking here.
Right, by looking here. This is where they get that information.
They look at a team like Marquette or Providence. They see them in italics. They know they should be thinking about them, but they're not guaranteed again.
Yeah. And then again, like you look at a team like Gulf Coast, well, I mean, they need to be up there because they're still playing, but in the event that they lose, they don't need to consider them.
As you see down here, we had, for example, 10 teams in the Big South heading into play tonight. Let's go ahead and update this and see what happened as a result of tonight's games. We had been at 329 teams left, and now 325, four more teams off the board.
Yeah, and if you go back down to the Big South there, now there's only 8, and they know not to take Presbyterian.
Because, they shouldn't even consider them. They shouldn't even talk about them in terms of seeing that they may win the Big South tournament. It's not going to happen.
Right. So, I mean, that's what this board is. It's just a tool that's available to the committee.
Okay. Well, I guess on the net, let me pull this down here. And, John, let me start with you. Any other final thoughts for the evening?
Well, right now we're still about 2 hours away, but by the time you see this live on tape delay, it will officially be the month of March. So happy March Madness, everybody.
At least on the East Coast, about 5 more hours for the West Coast, 7 for Hawaii. But David, any other thoughts?
Not really. It's just going to be this is always one of the more intriguing weeks. In some ways, I think I like this week as much as, if not more, than the following week.
So, really? You like this week better than next week when it's all just
Friday night is amazing, especially when you have one Lee Delvecchio on the call because he's just loves bad basketball.
Oh, and we're going to have Lee Friday night. Is that confirmed?
I hope so.
All right. We're going to look forward to that. We're going to have about a 7-hour podcast Friday night. Right. Everybody, so make sure when you're watching Saturday morning that you put a lot of time aside for it.
Right. Yes. But,
I guess on that note, on behalf of John Salika down there and David Griggs over there, I'm Chad Sherwood. I want to thank you all for joining us. And we'll be back again tomorrow night with yet another one of these. And Thursday night, we're going to have two podcasts. We'll also be doing a bracket rundown show as well. So we'll talk to you again real soon.